Hey, this is Lorenzo Elin on the Production Specialist, a podcast series of personal accounts from individuals and companies in emerging and frontier production industries. On today's episode, we have Matthew Mungel, an Academy Award-winning makeup artist known for his work on CSI, The Irishman, Schindler's List, and Dracula, where he won the Oscar for Best Makeup. With over 250 film and television credits, he is recognized as one of the top masters of his field. He may be retired, but that hasn't stopped him from continuing work on some major projects through his own shop. Welcome to the show, Matthew. Awesome to have you.
I think I decided to get into makeup when I was about, 8 or 9 years old. I saw The Seven Faces of Dr. Lao with Tony Randall. And William Tuttle did all the makeups in that, used prosthetics to turn Tony Randall into different characters. And I was just amazed. I didn't know what makeup was. I was just amazed that later I found out Tony Randall was all those characters. And he's originally from Oklahoma. I'm originally from Oklahoma. So it was a mind-blowing experience for me to find out that he was wearing makeup or prosthetics. That was 1965-ish, cut to 1968, Planet of the Apes came out. And that was all she wrote. I was hooked on makeup prosthetics. So about that time, I started doing makeup on myself. I got the only book that was available, which was the Richard Corson book of makeup. And so I started learning about makeup, taking a face cast. So I take face cast to my friends, have them take a face cast of me. And I just started doing makeup when I was a kid. And I was just thoroughly enthralled with it, how creative and amazing art form it is to do a three-dimensional face. Because I'd always drawn and watercolored and stuff like that. But it was a different experience doing it on myself and also doing it on other people. And having to touch people's faces. I mean, it's a whole new experience when you have to do that.
Face casting and live casting are essential elements to prosthetic makeup. Through the use of molding and casting techniques, a makeup artist can create a copy of a person's body, face, you name it. This was a major component in Matthew's work on CSI, but we'll get to that later. Please continue, Matthew.
I had an English teacher in high school that turned me on to makeup books and was very proactive because she knew I had a passion. So I started in high school. My first job that I had, I'd made myself up as the Planet of the Apes and, you know, just played around with it, taking pictures of it. And I took that picture to high school, and my best girlfriend there was the movie theater owner's daughter. Now, you have to remember, I was raised in Atoka, Oklahoma, population 4,000. Okay, 4,000 people. Downtown was like two blocks, right? You know, where you shop and everything. So he called me up that night and said, hey, you know, why don't you dress up and come down and, you know, promote the show all day? And I go, okay, sure, I'd love to do that. So I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I made myself up as the ape. I drive down to downtown Atoka, you know, small town, knock on the theater door. He opens the theater door and he was just like, whoa, that's great. You know, he had made signs for me. So all day I walked around the two blocks of downtown promoting the show, not talking to anybody. They had no idea who it was. And my family was well known in the town because it was population 4,000. So I kept that makeup on until 11 o'clock that night, and I was in heaven, and I got paid $15. And I was ecstatic that was my first job as a makeup artist and actor.
In actual fact, Matthew's prosthetics and makeup were so good that the residents of the small town thought Hollywood had sent an actor to hype up the film. After graduating high school in 1975, although his sights were set on Hollywood, with his father's insistence, he was accepted into Oklahoma State University as a theater major.
the first day I took my little portfolio I'd done, and I'd done a lot of costuming and makeup and et cetera, et cetera. And I showed it to the professor, and he was like, okay, we're going to put you to work, you know? So I was on the first production, stage production that they put on that fall, which I think was Skin of Our Teeth, which had some animal costumes. So I was just in heaven that I could do this kind of professionally in college, but still, it was amazing.
After college, he finally made his move out to Hollywood in 1977, where he was accepted in the Joe Blasco's Makeup Center, the premier academy responsible for training and turning over many Oscar award-winning makeup artists in the industry today.
I told my dad, I said, I cannot stay here any longer. I have to move to Hollywood and to see if I have what it takes to be a professional makeup artist. He and my mom talked and they said, okay, if you finish this semester at OSU, we'll support you in going to Hollywood. So December the 26th, I was loaded up in my car and I took off to Hollywood. As soon as I got to Los Angeles, it was like, I have arrived. And I had already enrolled in the Joe Blasco Makeup Center, which is still the premier makeup artist academy in the world. I went to school there for 3 months. And after that, Joe Blasco himself put me to work teaching. And the rest is history. He would get calls to have people referred to the productions, and he'd refer me, and I'd go and work with him on that, or I'd go on and do it myself. And then in 1980, he got this little job with Orson Welles, doing a nose for Orson Welles. And he said, Matthew, we're going to Las Vegas. We're going to do this job. And I go with him. We sit down in Orson Welles' bathroom, and Joe puts the nose on Orson Welles. And then Joe rips the nose off after he finishes the makeup. And he said, okay, here, you do it. And I was like, okay, because he was going to leave me there to do it. So I did the makeup, and Orson looks up at me afterwards and, good job, son, good job. So that's my start.
From there, Matthew began his very successful career in the industry. Who do you think Matthew usually works the closest with on set?
It would have to be the actor. Absolutely. You have to please the director. But that's the person you really have to please. And that's the great thing about working with the actor so closely, especially now since I'm established. When I meet an actor, it's immediate, hello, sir, hello, it's a pleasure to meet you. I've, you know, enjoyed your work. You have to establish that relationship in the first minute or two you meet that actor for the first time. And then I say to the actor, okay, what is your take on this character? And they'll tell me, and I, you know, and I have my own thoughts about the character, but I want to hear their character because they have to wear it. They have to act in it. Well, that's the most important thing. Your thoughts will be there. So it's a matter of, well, have you thought about this? What if we do this and this? And sometimes you'll bring up something that they didn't even think about, as far as the character was concerned. And it works in, and it's a collaborative, constant effort between the two of you. And I love getting everything together and then sitting with the actor for hours and just doing the makeup one-on-one without any producers or directors around. Just leave me alone with the actor and let us play and create this character. And when the actor is happy, I'm happy, and we can present it to everybody else. Now, they're going to put their input in it. They're going to put their stamp on it, et cetera, et cetera. Too many cooks in the kitchen, et cetera, et cetera. But the actor, if they're strong, they will stand up for that and say, no, this is the way I want it. So working closely with the actor, I think, is the most important thing a makeup artist can do.
When stuck with a person for hours on end, you would think you should create personal relationships with these actors. However, Matthew believes quite the contrary.
You always want to keep your distance, right? Because they're an actor, you're a makeup artist. you're below the line, they're above the line. And it's better to keep a professional working relationship than a personal relationship always. Because personal relationships, you know, how you doing today? I was like, I think it's a mistake for anybody to do that and to think that that actor is your best friend. No, they are your colleague and they're a professional actor and you're a professional makeup artist. And let's just keep it that way. And also, you're the first person they see in the morning. You're the last person they see in the day. If they don't want to talk when you come in the trailer, you don't talk to them. You don't open your mouth. If they want to talk, then you give feedback to them. But, you know, it's a respect for them to respect you and you to respect them.
Got it. Any last words on this, Matthew?
You don't poop where you eat, okay?
Don't poop where you eat. Noted. As you may expect, it can take a long time to create these makeup effects, even if they show up on screen for a few seconds, or even worse, when they cut it out of the project completely.
There are some times that they cut it out and you're very bummed about it, but at the same time, you're working out a blood gag or an autopsy or something like that, and they'll shoot around it a little bit and they'll get some shots of it, but it's those few minutes or few seconds, you have to pull the audience in. You have to make it believable. You know, if it's not believable, if it doesn't look realistic, like CSI, for instance, all of the things that we did for the deaths and the autopsies, then you lose the audience. It's fake, you know, it's fake. But if you do your best for that, it's a great accomplishment, I believe. And it's a matter of just thinking the gag through, making sure you've got a lot of research for it, that you're going off of some realistic stuff, and just pulling it together, really, you know?
Ironically, Matthew isn't all too fond of blood. He had a tough time working on set for the movie Natural Born Killers.
As a makeup artist who department headed Natural Born Killers, I would say a blood film. not my favorite at all. You know, doing slasher films, doing killings and stuff like that, lots of blood. That is not my favorite. You know, I will do it just because I have to, but now I don't have to, so I don't. It's really hard to do something like that. There's an art to throwing blood, yes, but that is not the art of makeup to me. I mean, it is a step in the right direction, it is what it is, but it's just not my favorite. Like Midnight Maid Train, we blood everywhere for that film, and it was just horrendous. And I thought after that, I don't want to do another bloody film. Like Bram Stoker's Dracula, I think special effects went through probably 2 or 3 55-gallon drums of blood because they had to do all of the washing in blood and everything, and then we went through a lot. But Natural Born Killers, we probably went through not more than 15 gallons, maybe. That's still a lot, isn't it?
Blood may not be his favorite, but he does enjoy doing this whenever he gets the chance.
A character makeup. Like working with Glenn Close is such an amazing experience for me because it's a collaborative effort between Glenn and I about how we can come up with a character for her using very subtle prosthetics, but yet changing her face in a way that at first, the audience doesn't really know it's her. And then after a few minutes, it's like, oh, that's Glenn Close. What is she wearing? I don't even see anything that she... So that, to me, is the real art of makeup right there. anybody can make a monster or cover somebody's face in prosthetics to do an old age or completely disguising the person. But the subtle work of creating a character like that, whether it be a character that has lived or you're creating a character from scratch, is just, it fills my soul to do that, really. And to work with someone like Glenn is even more amazing. Once you put that makeup on her, she comes to life as that character. She's like, Tracy Ullman was one of my favorites also, because you would put her in that makeup and about halfway through the makeup, she's become that character. And there are certain times that I'd be putting the makeup on and she'd be making me laugh so much, my hand is just going up. And I said, Tracy, you have to stop. Let me finish my work. Because she'll get into the character like Laura Bush or Susan Boyle or whoever and just go off, because she'll get the voice right, the mannerisms of the character, and just freak you out when you're doing the makeup. So it's coming up with a character and seeing that actor become that character is the most amazing thing.
It'd be a shame to not be able to add prosthetics and makeup to an actor and not see that transformation. But with the rise of visual effects, Matthew has a few words about it. We are, however, keeping some information to ourselves for a future episode. Practical effects versus visual effects.
I have totally embraced the changes. My first introduction to all of that, the industry went from practical effects all the way a huge swing to visual effects. And it was just all visual effects. Everything was visual effects. And everybody got tired of it, because it was done in a house, you know, with 15, 20 people, that was it, you know, and it just looked bad. It was just, you could tell it wasn't good. And then for me, X-Files came around for me, and I worked on the last two seasons, and that was the most amazing time of my life, because I couldn't, one, wait to get the script, and two, it was a great working relationship between visual effects and practical effects. Because we would do our work and they'd go in and enhance it a little bit. And it would make it look even better. So it's a collaborative effort. When I'm going into a project like that, I want to meet the visual effects people immediately and create a working relationship.
In our first episode, Connie Grayson had also said something similar to this.
I mean, look at Baby Yoda, for example. That's a puppet. It's being operated by people. But then there's some parts of, Mandalorian or something, that where you're seeing movements for on makeups and that sort of thing. And it just marries in nicely with the makeups. So,
to close out the episode, Matthew has a few things to say about landing a career in the industry and how you can personally reach out to Matthew for any questions this episode didn't answer.
It's all on who you know, what you've done, and word of mouth. Those things will lead you to your career, and that's what I've built up to. A lot of the jobs come from makeup artists that want to hire me to make prosthetics for them. A lot of the jobs come from directors I've known, producers I've known. So it's a gambit of a lot of things, but mainly makeup artists I've worked with before. They'll call up, I need some prosthetics for this movie. And it's a few things and ends up being a lot of stuff. So, you know, oh, we want this, which is fine. But that's how things, it just snowballs that way. The more I can inspire younger kids, the better off they'll be, the better off I'll be, because I'd love to pass my knowledge on. And if anybody wants to email me, please feel free. You can go to my website, which is wmcreationsinc.com, and my email's on there. You can email me with any questions you want, and I'm a book of knowledge. You just ask me, I'll answer.
Thanks so much for the info, Matthew. An inspiring episode this was. Just like Matthew said, You can find more of his work on wmcreationsinc.com. The Production Specialist is hosted by Black Dagger Audio, an audio production and post-production studio based in Dubai, UAE, specializing in custom sound design, original music, VO, and dialogue editing. You can visit our website for any project inquiries at blackdaggeraudio.com. If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, there are three things that will help benefit this show. First is to share this with someone who has interest in the production industry. Second is to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. And third is to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/productionspecialist. We have member-exclusive benefits such as behind-the-scenes, bloopers, sitting in on live interviews, early access to episodes, and much, much more. And that is it. Thank you so much. See you next time.